Praise the Lord.
I was informed 2 days ago that I should speak tonight. Informed. And from that day that they informed me up to 5 minutes ago, they told me 15 minutes only. And just before I went to this pulpit, I must look at that watch. So I'm not going to say many good things about Pastor Jim and Debbie because it takes time. I'm not going to bring you many greetings from Africa because it takes time. 15th of June last year, that means 2008, at 3 o'clock midnight, I woke up and I had a terrible pain right here. And I thought to myself, what's wrong? Maybe I've eaten too much. Because that night we had been coming from the bush and we were in Zambia and Lusaka, and that evening together with Franz, one of my sons, we ate. Oh my gosh. And I said, oh, maybe I need to turn this, you know. But that pain carried on, and then later on my whole chest was full of pain. And eventually it went into my arms. And I got out of bed and my arms were standing like this, but it was painful. And I kicked my brother in the bed. I woke him up. I said, Franz, you must pray. I've got pain. And about 5 minutes later, I said, Franz, here's my phone. Take that phone of mine and push your finger on the letter E. E stands for Eddie. Pastor Eddie is a Zambian. And his wife and Father Andrew. Push them and tell them to come. At exactly 3:45, they came into my room and the Holiday Inn, and we had a mighty prayer session going on. And at about 6:30, I said, it's okay, I feel better and I feel better. You can go. And at about 7:30, I said to him, let's go eat, because we need to eat. We're hungry. 9 o'clock, I preached for 2 hours. But the pain right here remained there. And I said to Eddie, who's one of the sons, I said, you know what? Take me to that Egyptian doctor, you know. So when the Egyptian doctor saw me and he took some test, all of a sudden he said, you guess what? You're not even allowed to carry a bottle of water. Never mind to be very short because the time is running out. The next day they came with a special airplane from South Africa with 2 doctors, 2 pilots, because it has to be decompressed. And my doctor said on the telephone, don't worry, Carl, we will have the best specialist waiting for you. So when we arrived in Johannesburg with a special ambulance to the hospital, my wife was already there. When they took me off the stretcher into the bed in the ICU, the doctor, which is Mandela's private doctor for many years, was waiting for me. And not on a short 2 days later, I had a triple bypass. And here I am. But you know where healing started? The moment when we started praying. It's, thank God for the airplane. Thank God for those doctors. Thank God for the specialists. But it started right there. You know what? We all say, yes, prayer works. But you know what? Try it. Try it. Because everybody, if I ask you, do you think you believe in prayer? We all say, yes, Eva, yes. But try it. The problem is, and I think Pastor Debbie spoke about it, I'm not sure, because I believe she spoke about the Lord's Prayer as one of my favorite teachings. But I've learned right in the beginning, there are 3 D's. The D for a desire. You have to have a desire to pray. And when you get that desire, you start with a 2nd D, which is discipline. You have to discipline yourself. So you discipline yourself. And the more you discipline yourself, take time for prayer. It costs something. You know that? It's not easy. For me, it's wonderful. From the very first day when God saved me, we lived in a minor village. Prayer up to today, my prayer. Oh, the people in the mining village didn't like it. Because 5 o'clock I was already praying and they started throwing stones on my roof. On the roof of the house. The more you discipline yourself, the more it turns in the 3rd D, which says delight. It becomes a delight. So I've learned that in my life. But what I wanted to share tonight, and there is so much I wanted to say. First of all, I like what Pastor Jim said. If you have not been to this morning's service or yesterday morning service, it's good to get that CD or DVD, whatever it is. He already, and that's why I believe in this church for so many years. They also stopped believing in having services. My brother and sister, the days are over for just enjoying church. God never called us to enjoy church. The days of services are finished. We, as men and women of God, we need to have more encounters with God. Not with songs, not worshiping worship, but worship the worshiper. Hallelujah. That's what he said, and I'm just repeating. You see, that's why I believe God's intention was never to start a religion. But God's purpose was to establish relationships. And only relationships. Relationship means I need to relate with the one who lifted me out of the darkness and put me in the light. God never planned to plant a religion or have churches. No, God's purpose was to establish a kingdom of sons and not subjects. Yes, God's purpose was, of his original purpose was, that we were chosen for you and me. And Pastor Jim spoke about it. There's a purpose. And our first purpose is to release what is unseen in the seen. In other words, if he's in me, it's maybe not visible, it's not seen, until they come near me, or until they smell me, or until they look at my face, then the unseen becomes the seen. On the scene. And that is when the glory and the glory and the presence of God is in us. Somebody used to say, talking to men for God, listen to this. It's all about this morning and yesterday. Talking to men for God is a great thing, but talking to God for man is a greater thing. I thought about that yesterday morning. You're not there. You're not called to use God, your boss's time to talk about Jesus and preach about Jesus. No, no. Hey, God is ready to do something. But he wants to do it through his people, his man and woman. Psalm 127 talks about it. Work with him, not for him. For all those years, I've been working for God. And I made many mistakes. But I did also many good things, but many things it was never God. It was me. And that's not wrong. It's great. It's fine. But hey, we need to change this. Let God, allow God to operate through you. You see, we need his presence. It is his presence. We need more men and women in this world and in this church who will release the presence of God. Because I believe, listen to this. I believe it has already started, but I see 2010, the start that God's glory will return to the church in a greater way and will cause the fear of God to return. This will result in many notable miracles through the saints. Nations will be drawn to his glory of his people. We will not have to run after miracles or people. Miracles and people will follow us. I believe we are entering a time of abiding in him and sharing his divine. Yes, Isaiah says, everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him, yes, I've made him. It's the glory of God which will return, but it has to return or will come through you and me. The presence of God. The glory of God, he in me. And that is why we read in Colossians and other Colossians and other parts of the Bible, we read, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Not Jesus, Christ, the one who was and the one who left and sits at the right hand. Christ in me. It's the Christ in me, which is the hope. For those who don't know him. That is what we have to release. And we can only release it if we have a relationship with him. If we have relationship, we have to not just know him or talk about him, but relating to him. It's no good I relate to people, which is good, but I have to relate to him first, because the outflow of vertical relationship is horizontal relationship. Because I love him, I speak to him, I talk about him, and not to forget, God is not Walmart. God's not Walmart. Give me, give me, give me. Forget about yourself. Start seeing the world as God sees it. Start praying and interceding for others. Yes, not just things about give me, give me. Like I said, it's not Walmart. But listen. So what I'm saying is that the word glory means the supremacy of Christ. Number one. Number two, the attributes of Christ. The assets of Christ. In other words, the fullness of Christ living and flowing through us. That will make a difference in the community. That will make a difference beyond this community. And this can only be established through relationships. Or let's say it, prayer. You know, we Africans, I'm an African, even if I don't look like one. But I'm an African. In everything I do and see and eat and drink, we Africans can pray. Let me tell you, there's no one in the world who can pray like Africans. I dare anybody to come with me. They can pray, they can pray. And let me tell you, me too, especially in the older days, because I'm a traditional old Pentecostal, you know. And traditional Pentecostals, we used to pray and we run around. And we pray. And we go on for an hour until we had totally finished. You know what? You can pray for 1 hour, and in that 1 hour is not even 1 minute prayer. Hello? So we need, it doesn't mean how many hours you pray. Start your prayer effectively. But to pray, I don't know, that watch has not been going, so that means I'm still 15 minutes. Well, of course, I'm afraid of that thing. And the Bible says I should not be like Saul to be afraid of a watch. Hey, listen. We as sons and daughters of the King, you've heard kingdom. Pastor Dan has been mentioning. Pastor Jim has been speaking about these things. It's about the kingdom. If we have to migrate to an accurate position. We have to migrate to an accurate position, which means to be in alignment with him. And I can only come in alignment with him through prayer, through relation. But I help you tonight. We have to get back accurately into the word. Pastor Jim said yesterday morning, and that touched me. Sorry that I mention every time his name, because that message spoke to me. Even if I'm 35 years full time, I can learn, right? We're here to learn, to grow. And he also has emphasized this over and over. It's the hearing issue. We don't hear. We assume, we think God spoke. But we need to hear accurately. So the key is hearing. Listen to this. I wrote it quickly because I said for myself. 15 minutes. We have to get back accurately into the word so that we can bring ourselves in alignment with him again. Christ will be formed in us. And to be able to do this, we have to go back to the apostolic culture. And the apostolic culture means I have to get back doing these things on a daily routine that has to become my practice. You understand that? That's what means the culture. Culture means a habit of doing. And I want to share tonight only, and I don't know how 14 minutes that, hey, somebody slipped up. Hallelujah. This is to my benefit. But I want to take you to one verse. You don't need to go there. Just listen to it. I got this Bible, hallelujah, from the rock. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship in the breaking of the bread and in prayers. You know what we believe? I can talk for hours about that, and I can tell you what we have been experiencing in the past year or two, or actually three, because I had hand over my ministry to sons, etc., etc. But God gave us another ministry. God gave us another assignment to continue, and we have been applying certain things in our own lives. So I've not only heard it, I heard about this verse, I've been preaching about this verse, but we need to start applying these principles which the first church did. And I call that the four pillars. The four pillars of building a glory church. The four pillars of rebuilding ourselves. Number one pillar is the Word of God, knowledge. The Word of God, knowledge, the apostles' doctrine. I'm not talking about an apostle. I'm talking about the apostles' doctrine. That what the people believed in, what they knew at that time. Now today we've got the Word. Amen. We've heard enough about that. Number two is fellowship. My God, we need that, brother. Number three, the table of the Lord, breaking of the bread. And number four, prayer. Walking in this culture, listen to this, walking in this culture, doing these four things, brings a multiplication of grace, will bring a multiplication of grace. You see, faith is already in you. You don't need to pray for more faith. It's already there. You need to release it. It's he who's in you, but you just need to release it. You see, that's why grace operates through faith. The faith I release gives me more grace. Okay. Now, let me stop quickly at number one. The Word of God. Without knowledge, my people will for surely perish. It's not good enough. Even if you attend 9 services at the Rock a week, there are 9 services. You can attend them all. It doesn't make you more holier. Until you start applying, until you start reading this word. Even if you are stupid. Pastor Jim spoke yesterday morning about translations and various translations. No, I am also from the school where I have never seen the inside of a college. So I believe and I thank God sometimes in all these kind of translations. I love the New King James. I love the New American Standard. But I read it together with a Message because it opens a world for me. Because for me, the dies and the does, you know, makes me to take out my teeth to understand what it says. But let me tell you, it opens up a world. And even if you read, even if you don't know Greek or Hebrew, that's also fine. Just read. Read it slowly. Read it peacefully. Think about what you have been reading. And you know what? I believe this. The word is new every day. How many times I've not been preaching about Acts? Oh, I've been preaching about Acts that even Acts gets tired of me. And I wanted to preach tonight about Acts 4, where they came together. But that's fine. So, but every time I see something, just last month, something, you know, I'm a good teacher about the fivefold ministry. And I love to talk about Ephesians 4. For 20, 30 years. And about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I can't remember, I was reading it again. And all of a sudden, I saw something which really spoke to me. The word until. We talk about maturity. But my function as leaders, or we as leaders, it's our job until they come to the level of maturity. Until. That means until means until. And I never saw it like that. And that's the function of the church. And that's why you are doing what you are doing. That's why they stop Sunday evening services and get you together. And let's talk about prayer and let's pray. Hey, that thing is now running a little too fast. But anyhow, the word is preceding and proceeding. And many of us, we as believe in the old time religion, which was not wrong. Don't condemn the past. It was good. It helped us to get where we are today. But God is a God who opens up things we all the guys never understood or we never realized this is what the meaning is. But God opens up things. And that is why I believe I'm excited about the future. I'm excited about the issue that there will be an increase of His glory. And somebody, I think Pastor Jim again mentioned it this morning in our office, where he used the word remnant. Even if we have 16,000 people in this church, and here are tonight 500, and even it's only 500 who allow the glory of God to increase in their lives, it will affect eventually 16,000. That's the remnant. Wow. Proceeding word, fresh manna every day. It renews your mind and makes you want to share. Hello. You see, we always think repent means confess your sins. That's not totally true, but we can use it. Repent means change your mind. And some of us, we come too long, and we are holding on to some things. We need to change our minds. And the moment you start reading the word and opening the word, but you know what happens? That leads to the next pillar. The moment when you're busy with the word, you want to share what you have been reading. You want to tell people, or you start living it. And that is the excited part. Yes, fellowship will grow stronger. Brothers, it's no good when we say from the pulpit, turn around and greet someone you did not come with this morning. It's easy to greet and yet have no feelings. Hello? It's easy to say hi to someone. But hey, let's get a little closer to one another. That's why we need one another. Let me tell you, in these days, special in these days and in days to come, you know, we need one another. If we walk together, if we cooperate together, let me tell you, there is power in many made one. Power and many made one if we become one. And oneness gets stronger and stronger when we fellowship. And from fellowship it goes to pillar number 3, breaking of the bread. Breaking of the bread. My brothers and sisters, don't look at the church. If the church cannot do that every day, etc., etc., but nothing stops you from having more often communion. You don't need to have Holy Communion once a month. Have it 16 times a day. And I will tell you, it will change you. The power we have experienced in the past year or two is when a man, and see, we spoke the other night, we were together in this church with marriage and married couples. You know, where's one of the biggest problems in the church? We can sing in tongues and even prophesy. And we sit with the hands in the air. But I've seen it in the ministry. Many, not just members, but pastors and leaders, he or they, husband and wife, don't pray together. It's time that we sometimes kneel next to the bed and hold one another's hand and pray together. Pray for her. She prays for you. When we do that, after a few days, after a few weeks, the things will become more free and free. And most mornings, early in the morning, even if my teeth are not brushed and I'm running in my shorties, I run to the kitchen, I grab a piece of bread and I grab a bottle of wine, or not wine, but grape juice. And I run in the room. I said, Mama, the Lord says, do this as often. There's power in communion. There's power in breaking the bread, not just by reminding that He died and He rose again. No, no, no. Just remember what He has done for you from that day up to now. And then you bring in all that what is giving you problems and hassles. And my daughter, all of a sudden, beautiful daughter, she's only 45. Something they had to do on her breast. And when they opened the breast, they saw something they never expected. A type of a tumor. And the doctor removed it. And they sent it away and they said, cancer. Then she had to go for another biop or something. And then they found there is something deeper in the chest. So deeper. And when we heard that, we mobilized the world. Pray for my daughter. We mobilized people and my intercessors. I believe still in intercessors. That's why I'm still around. We started praying and I said to my daughter, I said, Mommy, there will be nothing. Guess the day of the big operation, they had to remove both of her breasts. But to be short because of time, at this moment, she's got two new beautiful. You know why? The cancer is gone. There is no cancer. You know why? Because of prayer. Because of breaking the bread. And we said, Lord, what you have done for me, what you have done for others, what you have done to make me what I am today, you can do for my daughter. My grandson is 25 years old. He's in the business of selling chairs and money, and he has a degree in BCom economics, and he wants to work in a bank. Because in a bank, there is more scope. And it's very difficult in South Africa to get a job. It's like here. It's like here. And if ever there is a job, they look first, what is your color? So at this stage, he had the wrong color, because many years ago, they had the wrong color. But it's okay, I have no problem. And then one day, there was an advertisement from the Standard Bank. And he said, Grandpa, they always come to Grandpa. I'm going to apply. I said, apply. You will have a job. You get that job. I know you. I know your heart. I know your motives. I can easily ask God and tell God. And guess what? It was disappointing because the third time he found out there were 800 applications. So he phones me. He said, and then they said they only want 3. I said, praise the Lord. God is doing even a greater thing. You're going to have it. 6 months ago, he was appointed. Next month, he will be appointed manager. You know why? We broke the bread together. We started praying about the issue. We incorporated that in the Holy Communion. That was number 3 pillar. Number 4 pillar is prayer. You know what? If you do 1, 2, and 3, you can pray. If you read the word, you can pray. Pray the word. If you can pray, nothing else. If you can't pray for your cat or your dog or for your mother-in-law, pray what you've been reading. Hello? Even if you're stupid, just pray what you read. And if you don't understand, it's okay. Forget about yourself. Many times I don't ask God anymore, I want this. Oh, Lord, I would love to do this. Help me. I don't ask this anymore. You know why? God knows what I need. God knows my desires. My heart is for others. In this world, we are here for one purpose. We are here for others. Guess what? Apply, try. 4 pillars. Number 1, the word of God. Number 2, fellowship. Connect with someone. Connect. Number 3, the table of the Lord. Do it every day. Hey, listen, if you want to see results in your life, if you want to see increase in your salaries, okay, it's not first for my salary, it's not first for my work, but any impossible thought, whatever problem, incorporate it in the table of the Lord. And let me tell you, when you have fellowship, there are others who will be helping you to pray about a certain issue. And then prayer will have results. The problem is you pass many churches and you see big banners on the walls of the churches. And they say, God still speaks. And even the Pentecostals and the Charismaniacs, they all say to that, Amen. But then they ask themselves, does he really speak? It's the same with prayer. Does he really answer a prayer? Then lastly, I'm finished. I did it exactly in 15 minutes.